Well, praise the Lord. Good things. Good morning. It's good to be with you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Ann and Josh. Praise the Lord. Daughter and son-in-law, we love them. Our grandkids. Yep, I grit my teeth. I thought, you know, get you trained. Are you leaving? Praise God. Hallelujah. But they were also taking some grandkids with them, too. So that was another thing. So, but we forgive them, praise God, and got back in love with them, praise the Lord, and going on from there. Amen. But this morning, thank you. It meant a lot to us. We appreciate it so much. Praise God. We're so very proud of our kids and grandkids, and we love our family. Praise the Lord. And love you. Praise the Lord. We pray for you all the time. We feel a part of this ministry, and we're just going to continue to believe God for Trailhead to do great things right here. Amen. Praise God. And get the kids out to East Coast Camp. excuse me. We started that a few years ago, and it's continued to grow. And we're just looking at some things, and the gentleman that helps me coordinate that said right now we could have over 600 easy this year, because they're really getting, a lot of kids are wanting to come. A lot of youth groups are getting involved. So praise God. Come on and let's get our youth on fire for Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray and let's get in the Word. Father, we thank you now and praise you for your goodness and mercy. Lord, we just trust you this day to grant unto us utterance that we can speak your Word accurately. And Lord, we trust you today to work with us and confirm your Word in our hearts and lives. I pray for every person under the sound of my voice that you would grant unto them a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of their hearts would be opened, and that, Lord, this truth would be found in them. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for working with us today and confirming your Word. And we give you all the praise, for we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. I want you to look at two openings. First, we'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to read one verse there. And then we're going to look in Matthew chapter 24. And I want to really minister to you today a little bit on what I believe the time we're living in and what we need to be doing right now as the world is going crazy. Amen. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writing here says in verse 1, he says, well, let me get to 2 Timothy, that was in 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. And, you know, that's powerful. In the last days perilous times will come. That word perilous in the Greek means difficult, dangerous, means furious and fierce times, difficult times. Paul is telling us as this thing comes to a close, there are going to be some tough times, some difficult times. There's going to be some dangerous times coming upon the land. And so what's he saying it for? He's warning his son Timothy that no matter what's coming, you need to be ready for it. Amen? And then we go over here to Matthew chapter 24. And the Lord Jesus, in the first couple of verses you read, the disciples are pointing out to Jesus the temple and the Temple Mount and how wonderful everything looks. And so they're talking about it. And then you get to verse 3, and it says this in Matthew 24, verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of this age? Now, that's a three-part question. Amen? And so notice this, the disciples come to him privately. Jesus is not going to teach this next part to the public. He's not going to reach out. This is not to the multitudes. This is to the disciples that came to him privately, because he had just gotten through telling them, oh, you think this is beautiful? There's going to come a day when not one stone is going to be left upon another. And so the disciples come to him. The first part of their question is, when is this temple going to be torn down? Then the second part, what are some signs of you coming back? And when's this thing going to wrap up? Okay, so it's a three-part question. And verses 4 down through verse 14 is Jesus specifically answering that question, that three-part question. And it's amazing to me when the Lord begins to answer this question to the disciples, and there he's talking to his inner circle now. So, and you know, you say, well, that was for them. Well, everything that came into the church came through those people. Amen. They wrote the epistles. They helped establish. So he's not only just talking to them, he's talking to us. Amen. He's wanting us to know these things, and he's wanting us to be ready for what's coming. And so the very first thing the Lord says to his disciples is this, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Isn't it amazing that the very first thing the Lord would say is make sure you don't get deceived? He's warning them to guard their hearts and not get misled. In fact, in the Amplified, it says it like this, and Jesus answered them, be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you and leading you into error. That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, these are going to be the 12 apostles of the Lamb, and the very first thing the Lord says is make sure you don't let anybody deceive you and mislead you and get you off into error. Stay faithful, stay straight, keep your eyes on me, guard your heart, and don't get off into error. Amen? Now, here's the thing, church. If the Lord is telling these who are going to be foundation stones of his church to not be deceived, not let be misled, how much more should we be taking that advice and guarding our hearts? Amen?
Right.
See, you should never allow anything or anybody to determine who you are in Christ.
Yeah.
Only Jesus has that right. And it was talking, when I had an encounter with the Lord, he spoke to me. I was in college, and I had an encounter in my dorm room, and the Lord spoke to me, and then I responded to him. He sent me to a couple of friends that played ball, and they were on fire Christians, and I knocked on the door and asked him, could one of y'all help me to get saved? And they grabbed me, pulled me in, hallelujah. And the first time in my life, I read Romans 10, 9 and 10, and I saw in the scripture, I didn't have a Bible up to that. I never did read much, didn't do things. I went to church once a year for Christmas or Easter or whatever, you know, and stuff. Yeah, but I had an encounter with the Lord, and I believed him in my heart. And I was praying a day or so later, and the Lord spoke to me because I had gotten away because the church had done some things that I didn't like, and the preacher had said some things I didn't like. And I saw some stuff that I just thought, forget it. You know, I believe in God, but I don't want to be a part of that. But then I have an encounter with the Lord, and the Lord spoke this to me, and he said this. He said, never, ever fall away from me. You have no excuse to ever fall away from me because of a preacher, because of a church. And then back then he said, because of a TV ministry. He said, because no preacher died for you on the cross. No church died for you on the cross, and no minister on TV died for you on the cross. I died for you on the cross. And the only excuse you will ever have to fall away from me is if I let you down, and I will never let you down. Amen? And so that to me was the Lord. And then when I read Matthew 24 and got into this, that was the Lord speaking to me saying, you keep your eyes on me. Don't let somebody else get you discouraged. Don't let somebody else get you deceived. Don't let somebody else stop you from being on fire for God. Amen? Don't let circumstances determine how you're going to serve the Lord. My goodness, folks, I'm going to tell you what. If we can't praise God just because it's great, then give him the sacrifice of praise. Are you listening to me? If you don't have any joy, do what James said in chapter 1 and just count it all joy.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I refuse to allow everything going around me to determine my walk with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen? And that's what the Lord is warning us in this moment right now. He's speaking to us. He's saying, listen, I've told you through my apostles, there's going to be dangerous times, difficult times, perilous times, and all these things are going to come to mislead you, get you upset, get you frustrated, get you out of church, get you to not believe God can do anything. Amen?
Yeah.
And you know what the Lord is saying to us today? Guard your heart. Don't let anybody or anything mislead you and get you off in error. Amen? Then he goes on, he begins to speak to us about some things that's going to happen. And he says here in verse 5, for many will come in my name saying, I'm the Christ, and will deceive many. He's saying, don't let people come along and get you off into something. Stay in the church. Hallelujah. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says this, and you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not soon troubled, for all these things must come to pass. Actually, in the message, it says these are all routine from the beginning, but they have no indication of the last days. Sometimes we get into wars and rumors of wars, and everybody thinks, oh, Jesus is coming back. Lord have mercy, then he's missed his chance for the last 2,000 years. Because we've had wars and rumors of wars going on all my life. And before me, hallelujah. And so that's not something to do. Now, what do we do during the wars and the rumors of wars and all the stuff that's going on? We keep our focus on Jesus. We walk hand in hand with the Lord. We stay committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes on and he says this. He says, for nation will rise up against nation. That word nation there in the Greek is ethnos or ethnicity. He's talking about, what's he saying? He's saying there's going to be prejudice. There's going to be people turning on people because of their skin color, because of where they came from or whatever. He says, don't get caught up into that. Don't you ever judge anybody because they look different than you. Amen? And so he goes on, he says this. He says, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and pestilence. The word pestilence there means plagues and sicknesses and earthquakes in various places. My Lord. I think, what it was, I just saw something the other day. They said they've had 27 earthquakes in the last month or something. Some people get a hold of all this stuff, and the first thing they want to do is they want to go get them a storm cellar, fill it full of food and the Bible, and hang out and get ready for, you know. Not me. That's not what the Lord's saying. Stay with me. He's saying all these things are coming to what? To deceive you, mislead you, to discourage you, and keep you from doing what God called you to do. Right. Yeah. Amen? Every one of us have a calling. Every one of us have a commission from the Lord. Every one of us have a purpose. You didn't get born again and God said, just stand there until I can figure out something for you to do. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? No, everyone that gives their heart to the Lord, you enter not only into a relationship with Jesus, but you enter into a place of ministry with Jesus. You enter into a position because 1 Corinthians 12 says that the Holy Spirit baptizes every one of us into the body of Christ where it is pleasing to God. Amen. Paul said in Ephesians 4 that he's called every one of us and given us all a vocation, a calling. And with that calling, he gives you the grace and the giftings to do it, praise God. Amen. And so what would the devil want to do? He would want to come along and get you defeated, get you discouraged, get you staying at home, get you not doing anything for Jesus. And people would then look at you and say, see, if God was real, look at them. See, the devil can't stop you from getting saved. So what he tries to do then is stop you from enjoying being saved. Amen? He wants to discourage you. He wants to defeat you. He wants to give you a negative testimony instead of a positive one because he doesn't want you influencing anybody else. Amen? Isn't it amazing that before the Lord gets into this, the first thing he warns the disciples is guard your heart. Don't let anybody or anything mislead you and get you in error. Stay faithful to me. Amen? Then he's going on and he says this. He says, and all these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation. That word tribulation is persecution and affliction. You know, right now the church in America is going through more persecution than any time in my lifetime. Churches are being attacked. I was in Nigeria a little over a year or so ago, and almost 2 years ago now, and we were in there, and they had just came in and killed a multitude of Christians down in one part of Nigeria. In fact, when we were going to the services, I had two armed guards and an armored car, and they put us in a hotel with the bars around. And whenever I got through with our ministry, all the staff in that hotel came to us. It was a big, nice hotel there in the capital of Nigeria. And all the staff people came to me and said, are you the teacher that's been ministering out there? And I said, yeah. They said, would you pray for our staff? We talked to our manager, and they said it would be great. And I said, sure. And about that time, everybody just stopped what they were doing. The manager came out, all the cooks, all the workers, and all the people in the restaurant, and we all gathered around right there and prayed for the power of God to fall on. Hallelujah. Amen. And there are people getting killed over there because they're Christians. And still they are wanting the power of the Lord in their life. Amen. Now what's he saying? He's saying all this stuff is going on. And then he goes on, he says, unfortunately, and many will be offended. That means they'll fall away. And they'll betray one another. And they will hate one another. Isn't that a sad thing that one day you're in love with Jesus, the next day you hate the world and you hate everybody and you're mad and you're frustrated and you're in strife and you've allowed somebody other than Jesus to influence you. You've allowed something that you thought shouldn't have happened to you influence you. But you know, in John 16:33, Jesus said this. He said, in this world you'll have tests, trials, and tribulation. But you know what he said to do with that? But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. What was he saying? You're going to have tests and trials, but stand strong and have a good attitude because I'll get you through it, praise the Lord. Amen? Paul writes to 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, verse 13, and he says over there, he says, listen, everybody's going to find themselves in temptations and tests and trials. They're all common to us, all of us. But in the midst of that test and that trial, God has already provided a way for you to get through it. Hallelujah.
Right.
Amen? But you see, I'll never see the escape door if I get all caught up in the problem.
Yeah.
Amen? So if you're in a test today, if you're in a trial today, it's coming to separate you from the Lord, to discourage you, to get you to give up on your faith. But in the midst of that test, God has said through Paul, the apostle, that he's already provided a way for you to escape it. So you know what you need to start doing? Where's the exit door? Hallelujah. Because God has already provided an exit door for me to get out of that mess. Hallelujah. But I can't get out of it if I get discouraged and quit and just look at the problem. Amen? So the Lord is warning us through this, and he's answering that question. And he says this, and many will be offended. Let's look at it again. Betray one another and will hate one another. And then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. One translation says many lying preachers. Don't listen to a lying preacher. Amen? You need to hear that. Praise God. And then he says, and because of lawlessness, iniquity, sin, will abound. The love of many will grow cold. You know, you got to watch out because even in this nation, so much lawlessness, so much stuff going on. And if you don't watch out, you'll get upset, you'll get out of love, you'll get out, and you'll start acting like the people that you don't like. Come on. Now, why is that going on? Because the devil knows if he can get you to get your eyes off of Jesus and quit acting like Jesus, you cannot do what God's called you to do. And instead of being a part of the answer, we become a part of the problem. And so the Lord is he's warning us here. But look what he says in verse 13. Here's where we wanted to get to. Here's what you need to see. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. That word endure there means to have fortitude. It means to persevere. It means to stand strong. It means not to be moved from God's purpose for your life. You know what he's saying? He's saying when it gets tough, you just dig your heels in, throw your chest out and say, Jesus is Lord. Whenever nobody likes you, know that God loves you. When everybody says you're a failure, stand up and say, I'm more than a conqueror in Jesus' name. I refuse to let this stop me. Blessed be God. If I got to walk to church, if my car quits, I'm not going to stay home and fuss because I got a junker. I'm going to church anyway. Amen? Huh? Because if God sees the determination of my heart and the devil knows that a junk car ain't going to stop me from serving the Lord, God will give me a good car. Hallelujah. Be like your pastor, Lord. Show me where the money's at. Hallelujah. I'm on my way to church. Show me the money. Praise God. But you know something? This is the thing we have to understand, folks. You can either make your Christianity just a life and death, woe is me, or you can make your Christian walk with God. Jesus, you're Lord. And you didn't promise me a rose garden. You didn't promise me everything was going to be sweet and everybody was going to love me. But you promised you'd never leave me nor forsake me and you'd always be there for me. And you said that if I would pray a prayer of faith, you would hear my prayer and you would answer it and you would move in my life. Amen? And God, you didn't promise me that that prayer would show up immediately, but you said it would show up. Amen? And so, Lord, I'm going to stay with you, praise God. And I'm going to endure this because, you see, if I'll endure the sickness, God said he would save me. That word save doesn't mean to get born again. It means to save, to heal, deliver, preserve, protect, and provide for. Hallelujah. So you know what he's saying? He's saying when all these things are coming your way, if you'll dig your heels in and have some fortitude about you and put some patience with your faith and put some stick-to-itiveness to your commitment to Christ, God said, I'll provide for you when nobody else has anything. I'll meet your needs whenever it doesn't look like you can get your needs met. I'll heal you when sickness is running rampant. I'll provide an escape plan for you when it looks like you're going under, praise God. I'll deliver you from the attacks of the enemy and bring you into a place of victory, praise God. God. But the part is what? First of all, I'm not going to get misled, get caught up in all the junk, and I'm going to stand my ground, and on my worst day, I'm going to still stand up and say, Jesus, you are my Lord, and I'm serving you. Hallelujah. Amen? Come on, church. That's what the Lord is speaking to us in this hour. See, it has to be real in me. I have to make that decision. It's my decision. That's why the Lord said, you have a responsibility here in verse 4. He says, not to let anybody mislead you or get you into error. Don't let anybody govern your life but me. Amen? I'm Lord. And you follow me. And in all these things, he that endures to the end. In other words, who's going to be the last one standing? Me, Lord. Amen? Because you see, eventually the devil has to bow. Just like with Jesus. The Lord had, you know, that time of prayer and fasting, and then he's in the wilderness, and the first person that shows up after he's had his time of fasting and prayer, and he knows what his ministry is the devil. Anybody besides me ever had that happen to you too? Huh? Come on, you've had a great time in prayer. You know what God wants to do, and the first person talks to you is the devil saying, it ain't going to work. Huh? That's what he did to Jesus. Come on. The Lord is out here. He's had this great encounter. He's had the 40 days of fasting and prayer. He's been filled with the Holy Ghost, and he's ready to start his ministry. And the devil says, well, you're pretty hungry today, son. Why don't you just go ahead and turn a stone into some bread and eat? Use that power you've got for yourself. Jesus just turned to him and spoke the word to him. Hallelujah. So he thought he would try to figure out another way. So he says, well, let me just take you up here and show you all these things and you make it yours. See, he's always trying to get you to fall away from God's plan for you. And if he attacked the Lord, he's going to attack you. But you know what happened to the Lord? Every time he showed up, Jesus just dug his heels in, stood his ground, and said, the word says. And after the third time, the devil left. Amen? Because he that endures to the end shall be saved. Jesus had to show us the way. Not only was he the way, he showed us the way. He showed us how to deal with these things. Amen? And so he just stood his ground. And the enemy, and then the angels came and ministered to him. Praise God. And he walked out of there, Luke says, in the power of the Holy Ghost. Ooh, glory to God. I'm going to tell you, folks, I've been in some battles, but I want to tell you what, the next time I stepped up and preached, it was like a whole new anointing was in my life because, you see, I had notched another notch on my sword that Jesus is Lord, praise God. And I stepped up with an experience that God just got me through a battle. Hallelujah. And you see, that's where we're living at now. And that's what you need to do. You need to make up your mind that my Christianity didn't stop at the altar when I made Jesus my Lord. But now, Lord, you've got a plan for my life, and nothing's going to stop me from living that plan. Nobody's going to talk me out of it. Nobody's going to discourage me. I'm going to keep my eyes on you, Lord, and I'm going to serve you with all my heart. Amen? Because here's the reason the Lord is speaking to us. Verse 14 says this, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. You know the sign that the Lord is telling us to look for? A revival in the church of Christians standing their ground, refusing to get caught up in all the fussing and the gossip and the complaining, and why me, Lord? And we just put our eyes back on the Lord. We get strong in the Lord, and we rise up and say, Lord, whatever comes, I believe that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I will not quit. I will not bow. I will not falter. I will not go to church. I will not read my Bible. I will not stop being a Christian. Hallelujah. Amen. I will stand for you. Hallelujah. And the Lord says the reason I need that is because, now let me read the 14th verse to you, actually in the Message Bible. And it says, all during this time. Ooh, I like that. What? During all this time, wars, rumors of wars, fussing, fighting, complaining, all the stuff he just talked about, all during this time, for all of those who made up their mind that nothing's going to separate me from the Lord, nothing's going to discourage me from serving my God, nothing's going to keep me from doing what Jesus called me to do, for all those people, all during this time, the good news, the message of the kingdom will be preached all over the world, a witness staked out in every country, and then the end will come. Ooh, glory to God. Did you hear what he just said? He said the sign that the Lord is looking for is not how many people are mad and frustrated and fighting. He said, I'm looking for a people who are standing up now in the midst of all this hellish stuff that's going on and rising up and saying, greater is he that's in me. Jesus, you saved me. I will not forsake you. I will not leave you. I'm going to be a part of this great end time move. And all during this time, You know, some people say, well, Brother Darrell, do y'all have any down days? I said, no. They said, it's amazing. How do you do it? I said, I have up days and getting up days. Hallelujah. Amen. See, some of your days are getting up days because the devil's trying to knock you down. Amen. Hallelujah. And we've done that ever since. I mean, it isn't just a new thing. And I've got a wife that's doesn't have any down days. Bonnie has her up days, hallelujah, and getting up days. I remember when we were first married. We were actually going to college. We decided to get married during our college days. And so we were living in a student housing on the college campus there. Fortunately, I was playing football, and they provided it for us, praise God. And so we could afford to have a place. And so we got married, and so we were going to the church there that we'd gotten committed to, and I went all the time. I played football, did 40 hours, you know, of football every week, and another 18 hours of college, and then I did, you know, we worked with in the church. But one Sunday morning, I was having a bad morning. Anybody ever had a bad morning on a Sunday? Not besides me? Okay, don't wave your hand, but we know it was you. We can tell by your face. Okay. But I got up, and, you know, and Bonnie had used my razor and shaved her. And so I you know, I take two swipes and I buy more blood than I've got myself. And I got patches all over my face where I only had one blade. We couldn't afford to, so I guess you had to use it. But so, you know, I've got two or three places with a little toilet paper, you know, stuck on it, you know. And so I go in. And I'm a little frustrated, and I'm trying to get going and stuff. And I had an old pair of shoes, and they laced up. And so I got one tied, and I put the other one on. And I pulled the strings to tighten it, and both strings just popped off my hands. And so I'm sitting there with my shoestrings in my hands and no other shoestrings to put in them. And I looked at Bonnie and said, I'm not going to church this morning. You know, we'd just been saved for a little while. And she's just bebopping around like she always does, getting ready. And I said, she goes, what? And I said, I'm not going to church. I'm just forget it. She goes, okay. So she just keeps fooling around. I said, what are you doing? She goes, I'm getting ready. I said, for what? She goes, to go to church Sunday morning. I said, you're not going to church. She goes, I'm not the one having problems. You are. I'm going to church. So I'm sitting there for a minute, and I thought, I can't let her do this because she won't lie. And the pastor is the team chaplain, and he and I have been doing a lot together, and he's going to say, hey, where's Darrell? And she's going to say, oh, he got mad and acted like a whatever and wouldn't come to church this morning. And so I thought, she's going to tell him what's going on if I don't go. So the first thing, you know, I tied two knots in my shoestrings and tied my shoe together. She goes, what you doing? I said, I'm going to church with you. She goes, why? I said, because you won't lie for me, and he'll ask you what I'm doing, and you'll tell him the truth, and you ain't going to do it. Hallelujah. Now, it wasn't the best motive in the world, but you know what? It did help me to get stirred. But you know what helped me to get stirred? When I didn't have it, somebody else had it. You know, there would be days that maybe you don't have it, but you'll run across somebody else that does have it, and you thank God that they have it.
That's right.
But then there are going to be days that you're the one who has it.
Yeah.
And you're going to be the one God uses to stir the other one to make it through that moment of crisis and go to church and live for God.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? Every one of us, we have to make that decision today. Who's going to lead me? Paul said in Romans chapter 8, he said, listen, verse 14, as men as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the children of God. I'm not going to be led by all this stuff. I'm going to be led by God. And you know what? I'm going to do my part. I'm going to endure it. I'm going to tell you something, church. Don't ever let the devil talk you out of coming to church on a Sunday morning because you're having a bad morning. Well, they'll see it and they'll know about it. It doesn't matter. Because by the time you hit those doors, you will have defeated the attack of the enemy that was trying to keep you away from what God had for you that day.
That's right.
Amen. And it will be another step in your walk of faith and victory with the Lord. Amen.